every new year, it's always this interesting time. We have this really special opportunity. And what I mean by that is we get to look at the past, right? Because we're right here on that cusp, right? We get to look at the past. Now, as we look into the past, we get to see our focus in the future and the hope that's in the new year. And that's why it's so interesting. And one way to recognize all the things that has happened throughout this time is to actually look through time itself. So what I did was I have like about a list of 14 or so. And this is the top, it was from CNN, the top news stories of the decade, okay? And so let me go through this list for you guys. Let's look at the past so we can see where we're going to the future. So April 2010. You know what's so significant about April 2010? No. No, yes, no, maybe so. Okay. Can you believe it? The iPad is 10 years old. April 2010, the first iPad came out. Life-changing moment to some. Yeah, the cell phone was invented already, but there was no tablet. There was no such thing as a tablet. Oh, anyway, okay. I play with my tablet at home all the time. Okay, July 2011. You guys know the significance of that? Harry Potter franchise came to an end. The second movie, Deathly Hallows number 2. You guys remember that? Okay. Okay. This one, maybe you guys, we kind of did it today. July 2012. What? Yes, Gangnam Style, yes. So, believe it or not, I don't get it. I don't know why. I mean, it's kind of a catchy tune, but even in the Korean, the song doesn't make sense. Like, it's so random. But it literally made, so actually, July 2012, the viral hit, the song that Psy made, Gangnam Style, reached over 1 billion views. This is the first video on YouTube to reach 1 billion views. I can't even count to 1 million, let alone how big of a number billion is. I don't get it. Okay, a little bit more serious. April 15, 2013. Do you guys remember that date? So that the reason that date is so significant is because that was the Boston Marathon bombings. They had the two radicalized brothers, and then, you know, they set off two homemade bombs. They killed three and basically hurt 260 more individuals. It was a rallying call for the United States at that time. We lived in a time of prosperity. We never had to fear, but actually domestic terror happened, and that was such a big thing. Yeah, a little bit tragic. Let's move on. Also in 2013, do you guys know the name Edward Snowden?
Yeah.
That's right. He used to work for the National Security Agency, and he leaked all this data and all this information to WikiLeaks. Yeah, pretty bad, pretty bad. March 2014. Significance? You guys know, remember, maybe so. Disappearance of Malaysian Air. This is was one of the first jets that disappeared. 239 people on board just completely disappeared. It's still one of the biggest aviation mysteries. They still don't know where it is. They still don't know where the plane is. All these theories, but the most likely event, they said it was because the pilot was depressed and he ended up killing everybody. Yeah, not so good. June 2015. This one should be very significant to all Christians. June 2015. No? Legalization of same-sex marriage. Legalization of of same-sex marriage. Whew, that was kind of heavy. July 2016. This one's a little bit more lighter. This actually, I don't get this, but some of you guys, I know you guys have it because I've seen it on your phones. Do you guys know what it is? Not Instagram. No, Pokemon Go. Pokemon Go. I've seen some of your guys' phones, and you guys have every single animal that there is, every single Pokemon. So I know you guys have been playing a while. I know. But this was such a crazy. Remember, guys were driving. Oh, there's a Pokemon, and they got into a car accident trying to catch a Pokemon. Okay. Anyway, it was kind of crazy. Okay. December 2016. Do you know the significance of that date? I'll give you a clue. 45. December 2016. And the clue is 45. No? December 2016. Yes, Donald Trump was elected as the United States president. Oh, we're not done with Donald Trump yet. Don't worry. We're not done with Donald. Okay, May 2017. Do you guys know what the significance of that is? No. The fidget spinner came back. It was an old, old toy. The fidget spinner came back and it became the craziest toy. My son has like 20 of them. I still play with one every once in a while. August 2017. No. It probably was, but August 2000. Great American Eclipse. This was the first time. The last time this happened was probably in 1917. The next time that's going to happen, I believe they said somewhere in the 90s, 2090, something like that. But basically, if you live pretty much anywhere in the United States, you could see the full solar eclipse. That was such a big deal. I remember I watched it. I had the thing and I watched it. I didn't actually look at it. I just saw the shadow of it. It was pretty cool. July 2018. Yeah. Has some significance to us since it's our culture. Not ISIS. Trade war with China began. Like I said, I'm not done with the president yet. January 2019. No. I didn't take all. I just wanted to, because I didn't really want to dig into the president too much. But anyway. The most diverse class of Congress was elected. The first time 117 women were elected for the first time, as well as having the first time Muslim and first time Native American people being elected into Congress. And last but not least, December 2019. Amen. I don't want to say bad things about the president. We got to pray for him. But yes, unfortunately, our president was impeached by the lower chambers of Congress, by the House of Representatives. And still, it's in a stalemate. And kind of the articles of impeachment still haven't gone up to the upper chambers. And they're just, yeah, it's a mess. We got to pray for our president. So anyway, it was pretty fun looking at this past 10 years, was it not? Okay. some things good, some things bad. But it's a good time to reflect on the events. And as this time happens, this is also a good time for God's people to take inventory of ourselves. The most important events that happened to us, even in the past year, let alone the past 10 years. How many of you guys from this point can actually say 10 years ago, I was walking with God? Or is this a new revelation that has God brought to you in your life recently? This is what good is. This is what's good about God. He never stops. He never stops. And this is why we have the hope of this new year. This is why we go through all of these things so we can recognize who He is. Because for me, the most significant part of my life and, the past year and a half since I had this blessing of being your pastor, you know what the greatest joys and the greatest things that I've done, and I guarantee if you ask any coworker, it'll be exactly the same. It's all about leading you guys to faith. You know, for me, it gives me great joy to say, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, because I understand what God is doing in your life. And you guys understand what God is doing in your life. This declaration of faith is what it's all about, but it's also just the starting point. For others, I was blessed to be able to teach you about the Bible. To teach you about what the Bible says, what God says about Himself, what God says about you in that relationship. For others, I was helped you to solidify your faith, your identity, whether it's through talking to you, whether it's praying with you. to have that opportunity to show you that God is real in every aspect of your life. To be able to pray with you guys is a great joy for me. Now, all of these things, it's all about you guys walking with the Lord. And the truth is, this is my life's ambition. It's not for me to get degrees and not for me to do any of these things, but so that you can truly walk with God. That's my win. And that's where we are here. And that's why we're here, the start of the new year. And because of this, we should take a very close look at ourselves. And most importantly, our relationship with God. We need to examine ourselves, where we have been, where we are, and where the Lord wants us to be. And this passage that we read, or we will read pretty soon, if you guys can get it up, Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. These passages give us these opportunities. These passages give the challenge for us to just to do that, to examine ourselves. Because every year, my brothers and sisters, we have this great opportunity from year to year to better ourselves, to say last year was great, it was good, but next year is going to be even better. And that's how our walk with God should be too. Man, 2019, my walk with God, I loved it. I'm so excited for 2020 because I know I'm going to fall in love with God even more. God is going to reveal himself into my life even in a more richer and even a more real way. And that's where we are. So if you guys will open your Bibles, we're looking at Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. We'll read it together in one voice, if you will. And all of God's people read. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Amen. 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 I don't know, maybe it's an Asian thing. I don't know. How many guys, in the new year, you guys clean your house? Yeah. I don't know if it's the same reason, but in Koreans, Korean aspect is you want to clean your house, you want to get all the dirt, all the junk, all the bad, well, I don't know what is it, juju's, I don't know, all the, I don't know, I'm not superstitious, I'm not saying I am, but it's something that I grew up, mom said clean up the house, we're going to get, you know, get all this stuff, and then quote unquote, good luck. I don't know. So anyway, every year I remember doing this, and this was one of the traditions for New Year, knowing that, okay, New Year is coming up, so mom is going to freak out, and we're going to have to, for like that 2 or 3 days where right before New Year's, we have to make every, like scrub the floor, and vacuum shampoo the rug, and all, like, I'm serious, it was really hard. And the reason why, she said, as I got older, she, said, good luck, good luck. But another reason why, she says, it gives her peace of mind. She says, when the house is clean, when everything is nice and the way it's supposed to be, it allows her mind to just be really open to anything that happens in the new year. So in a sense, what she was saying, whatever we do right now will have an effect with the decisions we make later on. I said, Mom, we're just cleaning house. Like, you don't get it. I was like, I don't. But it was something to that effect. Like she said, we'll clean this house. We make everything good. So later on in the year, everything will be great. Well, that's the way I see what Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4 is doing. It is a challenge to all of God's children to do exactly the same. As we look at our lives, in the light of these verses, we're challenged to do some things, to clean house, if you will. Literally to take an inventory of what's going on in our lives so that we can focus on what's going to happen to our future. And in these challenges, these three things will come out. Some things that we're going to have to hold on to or retain. Some things that we're going to have to let go of. And some things that we really have to remember. That has to be a part of who we are. And in today's verses, this challenge is what I'm going to try and unpack for you guys. I want to show you that God has a plan for your life. And he wants to create certain things from. He wants certain things for your life. And here's the thing, no matter where we are in life, good or bad, God has the right to demand these things from us. because this is what we're doing. This is the challenge we have every year, that God gives us these blessings and we make the best of what we can do with them. The first part and the first point that I want to make is some things that we need to be kept. You know, when you're cleaning house, you always have these things like, oh, you open, oh, I didn't know we have these things. And you go down memory lane and you see these old albums and like, oh, and it's so cool. And then, and you keep these, you keep that nice and safe, right? Well, that's something, the first part of what Colossians chapter 3 is talking about. So Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through the first part of chapter 2, verse 2. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand. And the first part of verse 2, set your mind on the things above. My brothers and sisters, as we do spiritual assessment on ourselves, we find this Paul. We find Paul telling us something very, very important about the precious spiritual possessions that we have and what we are to do. The first part was to understand what these foundational things that Paul is talking to us about. And the second thing is to understand our focus, because these are the things that we need to be kept. Paul tells us in the first part of verse 3 that we are risen in Christ. In other translation, the word since has been replaced with the word if. But here's the thing. Paul is not asking a statement of he's not talking about a statement of possibility. What Paul is doing is telling us our spiritual reality. Paul is saying, since you have been risen with Christ, this is something that has already been done, something that you already own. Since you have been risen with Christ, Paul is talking about our spiritual position. Because when Jesus died on Calvary, every person who placed their faith on him also died on that day. Every single person died with Jesus on that day who would call upon him. And this is in the spiritual sense. Because in this spiritual sense, we died and our penalty and everything that sin will weigh us down with and take us down with, Jesus took that to the cross. This is the most fundamental thing we need to understand as Christians. We are no longer bound to sin. We are already dead to it when Jesus died. And because Jesus is dead and because I am dead with him, literally, I don't have to worry about the punishment for sin anymore because the price has already been paid. Because Jesus died, he liberated us from sin. He took sin out of our lives in that one instant. And in that sense, every Christian is dead. We are dead to sin. Every single one of us. And in this verse, Paul reminds us that we also have been raised up with Jesus Christ. Not only did Jesus die, he rose from the dead. And when he died, when he died, we died. But more importantly, when he raised up, so did we. When he got up, every person who would believe in him will also get up. And we must never forget that. We must never forget that we are dead to sin, but we are alive and we have new life in Jesus Christ. This knowledge will help us to live clean and glorious lives for God. This is the point. Point. Remember this. If you go away with anything, remember this. We all have freedom in Jesus Christ. I'll say it again. We all have freedom in Jesus Christ. And this is the point. We have freedom from our past, which frees us to our future. We are no longer bound by the sins of our consequences and all those things that we choose to do wrongly. Because here's the thing. We don't have to follow that same pattern over and over again. We can choose to live for his righteousness. It's a choice. Sometimes it's hard. We feel like, man, the world's not going with us. Man, I have to do this that way and all these other things. But the reality, it just comes down to a choice. Do you want to follow God or not? Which leads me to the second point of why these things need to be kept. It's because where we put our attention matters. Where our focus is matters. 3B to 2A. Set your hearts on the things above where Christ is seated at the right hand. Set your mind on the things above. Since we have been raised in a new life with Jesus Christ, we are told those things which to seek the things that are above. This word seek is in present tense. In other words, it's a command. It's an imperative. We are being told that we need to continually to seek the things up above. And the second verse builds on that by telling us to set our hearts on the things above and not on the things of earth. This is a hard, hard thing. And I tell you why. I love the Niners. They're doing good. I do. So I went to last week Sunday. Right after church, we went to go to Tahoe. And Uncle Sam, Evan's dad. So I was wearing my Niners shirt and, you know, the Niners game. And there we couldn't watch it, but I streamed it off my phone. It was Samsung and Samsung TV. So I streamed everything. And everyone goes, wow, I didn't know you were such a fan. And I was like, I am! I was so pumped. I love the Niners! Everyone's like, whoa. What are we putting our attention and focus on? Sometimes it is the wrong thing. Set your mind on the things above is what the world says. Is what the Bible says. Refer your thoughts to the things that belong to God. We are told our thoughts are supposed to be only on heavenly things and not on earthly. Set our minds on the things that bring glory to God. And what do these things look like? What are the things we are to pursue? And let me go through a list. The first thing is a deeper knowledge of God. A clean and holy life. Godly virtues. Holiness in your home life. Holiness in your social life. To have effective prayer. And to be a fruitful witness. And here's the point, kids. My brothers and sisters, why are we to do these things? Well, simply put, as 1 John 2:6 says, we are to live like Jesus lived. We are to live out the fruit of the spirits day by day. And we're challenged to live our lives with genuine spiritual values. And here's the thing, it's always hard because we live in a fallen world who don't care about these values. So we do have to focus. Because it's so easy to lose that focus. It's so easy to be on fire for God 1 minute and the next minute to say, you know what? God loves me and I'm okay with that. The whole world does everything in its power to take us away. Because all our lives should be God-honoring. Everything about this world leads us to the next. Our focus shouldn't be on the things of this earth. We are to allow heavenly perspectives rule our earthly walk. I'll say it again. We are to allow heavenly perspective in our earthly walk. In other words, every decision, every activity you guys do, every plan, every purpose is supposed to be considered in light of eternity. Everything is to be laid out before the Lord. Not because of your sensual wants or your earthly desires, but always from the viewpoint of heaven. Because here's the thing. We are all called to become heavenly minded. And why? Because that's where the presence of our God is. He is in heaven. Jesus, in fact, is at the right hand of God. And Jesus intercedes for each and every one of us. He gives us life. It doesn't matter where this world or next, we still need Jesus. And as we enter this new year, we need to ask God for help. We need to have this realization that every single aspect of our lives, whether good or bad, is for His glory. For His glory. May our walk will always be with His glory. which leads to me to our second point. Some things need to be let go of. Bible says, do not focus on earthly things. So like I said, you know, when you're cleaning house, sometimes you find things, you're like, wow, you find that picture. Oh, wow. You know, your family picture, baby pictures of Kelly and Kyla, I love it. And then there's pictures where you're like, oh, wow. I was like 60 pounds heavier. You kind of want to throw it away. And then you find all kinds of junk sometimes. Like, I don't know about you, my kids, man, they're very messy. But they have this way of, you know, like little, you know, they make one or two crumbs and they tuck it underneath the couch. And so. And anyway, so the other day we're cleaning up and I moved the couch and there's all this crusty stuff going on at the vacuum. You know when you vacuum and it goes, and it hits like, there's like solid pieces, you hear it hitting and like, so yeah, anyway, it was really crusty and nasty. Sometimes things just need to get out. It just doesn't belong there. Some things need to be let go. Here's the thing. A lot of times junk accumulates in a small amount of time, whether in our homes or whether in our minds. Junk can accumulate. The clutter gets pretty bad. And in fact, so much so, Connie, I'm going to share with you. Connie got mad at me. Like, we're going to go room by room. We're going to clean up every room. Yeah, we did that. But a lot of junk can accumulate. And a lot of times it's just all this trash that we just don't need. In our spiritual lives, my brothers and sisters, here's the warning. The same thing is true. Some things have to be let go. There are some things that just need to just get rid of because they have no place. Literally, you can kick it to the curb. And a lot of these things are earthly values that we tend to hold on to so much. Other things we just really don't have no place in our lives and they should be let go. And that's what Paul tells us here in verse 2, that we are to focus our thoughts on heavenly things. We are to avoid getting caught up on the things of this world, things that swamp our minds, that hinder our walk with God. We are to focus on Him and not on this world. Everything everything belongs to God and all the glory is His. And this is what Paul mentions here. Because there are a lot of dangerous distractions, my brothers and sisters. And this new year, I guarantee you, you're going to be challenged. If you're a senior, I bet you're going to be even challenged even more. A lot of dangerous distractions out there that will hinder your walk, that will take you away from God. If you allow it to. What are the things we need to avoid? Well, the first thing, Colossians chapter 2:8 says it this way. It talks about false doctrine. Paul warns us that these early believers in Colossae, in the church of Colossians, they would carry these false doctrines. And a lot of times the word spoil is referred to these things. It means to carry off. To carry off as someone as captive, something that robs your mind and steals you. That's what false doctrine is. And this is what the enemy does very best. He tells you a lie, and it becomes part of who you are. And slowly by slowly, it changes your focus away from God. It takes your emphasis off Jesus. He tells us that, you know what? It's not on Jesus, it's on you. And you can make a better life for yourself. So what kind of false doctrines are you talking about? We all have to have a good education. Yes. We all have to do well in our grades. Yes. But I ask you and I challenge you, why? Is it for your glory? Is it so that you can go to a good school? Is it so that you can get a good job and so you can make good money? If the answer to all of those stops right there and there's no Jesus in any of those things, I would challenge you that you're living under false doctrine. The second thing Paul talks about is philosophies. These things refer to the wisdom of man. Man has invented a belief system, and these things sometimes take away from God. It's a variant from God. Here's the thing. This is how you can tell if you're on the wrong philosophy. Whatever you're thinking, put it next to the Bible. If it's not in agreement with the Bible, don't do it. Sometimes it's a little bit more, you know, it's not cut and white, black and white. We'll get to the heart of why you want to do it. Where's your heart and where's your mind and why do you want to do it? Traditions of men. Believers are warned to be careful to any long-held beliefs because a lot of them can be screwy, right? They're not based on any kind of faith, but they only matter towards how certain things are in respect of certain other things. As, for example, like a belief system. Here's the thing. It may not seem that great. Well, how many of you guys believe that in order to be cool, you have to act a certain way or do a certain thing? How many of you guys actually believe in order to fit in, you have to be this or you have to be that? You don't need to be any of those things. You only need to be a follower of Christ. And one of the last things that we need to let go of, the Bible talks about the elemental spirits of the world. This is a falling away from mature faith to accept simple doctrine. You're taking away the deeper truth of what God says in His Word, and you simplify it, and you take the doctrines of the world. Don't do that. Everything we do in our lives has to stand up to the Bible. And if there are any things that I just mentioned here that's in your life right now, whether false doctrine, philosophies, or traditions of men. I tell you, there's a lot of traditions I don't agree with. I don't. The elemental spirits, how you live your life. Any of these things are in your life. I guarantee your walk with God will be hindered. You will be spiritually crippled. This is my warning to you guys in the new year. That's why this sermon is called Walking with God 2020. So how can we be victorious? How can we live our lives over sin? Well, to starve our fleshly appetites. Don't feed our anger. Don't feed our lust. Trust in God in everything that He says. Live out our lives for Him. Really simple things, really, you know, how can we go against that in the Bible? Well, walk in faith. Take that first step. See how your lives will change. And I tell you why. Colossians 3:16 says this way. If you let the Word of God into your hearts, into your lives, you know what the Bible says? Sin cannot gain a foothold in your hearts. Literally, you block it out and you say, God, my heart is for You and You alone. Because like I said, it's easy to twist things around and make everything about you when it should be all about God. That leads me to the last point. Some things need to be remembered. Colossians chapter 3, the last part of 3 and 4. For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. I'll repeat that again. Some things need to be remembered. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. In other words, when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you too will appear with Him in glory. These last two verses serve as the reminders of what spiritual truth is today. We need to consider this before all things. That when God comes back with Christ, in Christ, I will be with Him. We have been reminded in the beginning that we are dead to the sin. We are dead to the influence of this world. And one of the surest ways to enjoy being a child of God, to know that you have spiritual victory, is to understand the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. We need to hold on to this truth so that we can have this deeper understanding of God. In the same way, we are to count ourselves dead to sin, but alive in Christ. Second thing to remember is that there's been a deposit. We have been saved. We have been redeemed. We were given new lives in Jesus Christ. And this new life imparts in us this divine nature. My brothers and sisters, never, ever forget that you're an image bearer of God, that God is in you. When someone sees you, they can see God. And that's part of it. Because not only do they see God, we become different. We talk different. Our attitudes change. And this new life guarantees every believer in eternal securities. We never have to worry about it. We never have to worry about whether we're going to go or not go, because it's already promised in Jesus Christ. But you have to have faith. We were hidden in Jesus. We're hidden in his protective custody. No enemy can see us. Nothing can touch our souls. Even when the enemy attacks us, they see Jesus. We have that deposit. We have that promise. And the last thing we need to remember is the promise of heaven. Because here's the payoff, right? It would be a good life, would it not? To just follow God and live in a good life, live with good people. Because there's a lot of bad people out there. It's really cool. Like, if you ever went to, like, if your family's a part of a home group, I know you guys enjoy it. You guys go on vacations together. You guys do all these things together. You guys share your lives together. It's really fun. But there's even something more. As good as that is, because that's a small picture of what the fellowship looks like. I just came back from Tahoe. I loved it. I spent time with there with four different families. We ate every day. Dude, they made handmade dumplings. I kid you not, it was pretty bomb. I'm like, wow. You know, I love the fellowship. I love hanging out with them. I love eating food with them. I love going skiing with them. I love playing in the snow with them. But as much as I love all of that, small piece of what fellowship looks like in heaven. Could you imagine? No pretenses. There's no walls. You don't have to be this. You just be. And you have this perfect relationship with God, most importantly, and everyone else around you. That's the promise we have of heaven. When Paul closes this paragraph, he reminds the world that the world isn't the best for right now. Verse 4, he says, when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in your glory. Whatever God's glory is, Jesus' glory is, that's our glory too. Do you understand that? So it is hard. It is hard to deny the flesh. We are tempted over and over and over again. It's easy to hold on to feelings of animosity and, you know, and all this negativity. And sometimes being Christian is hard because it literally means to make yourself a servant. But here's the payoff, my brothers and sisters. We might have to battle Satan here. We might have to battle our flesh. We might have to battle our mind, our desires and everything. But we already got a victory. Because when Jesus comes to us in our faith in him, we are vindicated. There's a reason. We're not just suffering for nothing. Because every single one of us, every single believer in this room battles the world. All of us at one time or another feels junk, right? Oh man, this terrible day. Oh man. Sometimes it's even worse. I don't know the situation. But every believer in this room not only battles the world, battles the flesh. You know, I always ask, why, Kenny, why did you do that? I don't know. My sister was there. I kind of pushed her. I don't know. Like, Kenny, you got those thoughts. You got to let it go, son. No, don't push your sister. Why? Not only do we battle the world, not only do we battle our flesh, here's another thing we battle, the enemy. He does his best. He knows us through and through. He knows every button to push. He knows everything that we can do to, And as bad as all these things are, to have these kinds of enemies that hinder us, that break us down, that try to kill us on a day-by-day basis, here's the one thing we got to remember. As bad as those days are, the battle's already been won. Amen? Thank you. Because the flesh that we battle with actually changes. It changes into the Son's image. Don't believe me? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 John chapter 3. We leave this world with its sin. We leave this world with its evil, with its problems, the devil, and we go into the land of perfection, our Redeemer, heaven. I come from the state of Hawaii. I love it. If you ever went down Makaha, well, I seen some of you guys actually went, anyway, Makaha, why it's so great. You ever seen the sunset into the ocean? And you know, like right before the last bit of sun actually goes into the water, it kind of gets really bright for real quick. You ever seen that? No. Have you ever been on top of a mountaintop, Mount Haleakala? Above the clouds. You drive up, you're above the clouds. And you just see the sunrise. It's red, it's yellow, it's bright. And at first, it's just overwhelming. You're like, you got to hold your breath. And it comes up. Mauna Loa Falls. Kind of dangerous to go up there. You gotta actually, they stop you over here, but you kind of break through that fence and you go through another fence and you climb. But if you ever go to that top falls, my goodness. I can only imagine what Niagara Falls is like, but the water and the mist and all this stuff, and you just see all these rainbows because of the diffusion of light and all these things. Paradise. So much so, paradise. You know, no need to go to school, just become a professional surfer is what I thought. Paradise. As good as my home is, as good as your homes are, nothing compared to heaven. Nothing. The streets are lined with gold. Jesus himself is the object of worship. In conclusion, that was a lot to take in. A lot. But as we stand on the cusp of this new year, we do need to take that inventory. We do need to take a look at ourselves. We need to look at our walk with God, because it does matter. Let me ask you guys some questions. Are there some things in your life that you need to hold on to? Some real spiritual truths, you know who God is and what he means and what that means in your life? Or do our focus need to be adjusted? Are we focusing on the wrong things? Are there some things in our lives that need to be let go of? Do you need to lay down some of these things that I mentioned? Are there things in your life that you need to remember? Do you need to do that spiritual assessment, that trip down memory lane, to finally nail and figure out who you are in Jesus Christ? Because it's easy to forget. It's easy to forget why God called you. It's easy to forget. That's why we're here in this new year. If there are any needs among you guys tonight, the altar is open. Just open your hearts. If some of you don't know who this are, don't know the personal salvation of Jesus Christ, I'll pray with you, but let me know. because he is calling you guys. This is the challenge of 2020. He's saying, all of you, come to me. Come, let me love you. Let me save you. And whatever that voice of the Lord is calling upon your heart, even now, he has that voice telling you, I'm seeking you. I'm looking for you. Because here's the hope and here's the promise of God that our best lives aren't here yet. Our best is not here yet. Our best is still to come. But every year we get to strive to make it better than the year before. And that's how good God is. Do you trust him with your future? Do you trust him with your life? Pray with me. Gracious God in heaven, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you, God, for your love and mercy. Father, that you would teach us, Father, that in this new year, that, Father, we can receive all these new things, these new blessings, this new life, this new attitude, this new walk, Lord. Father, we thank you for 2019, but Lord, we know that our lives can be so much more better with you. So, Father, we pray and our hope is that in Jesus Christ, in his name, in his love, and his mercy, that we will grow closer to you. A real desire, Father, and to have this intimate, loving relationship with you, that we can feel you, that we can feel your touch, that we know that your presence upon us, Lord. God, I ask for your blessings over every man, woman, and child here, Lord. Father, that 2019, although it may be great, that the hope of 2020 is that we walk with you in a tighter, in a more spiritually intimate manner, Lord. That we can confess our sins to you. That we can walk with you. That we can trust you, Lord. God, I pray that you would give us wisdom. Grant us your peace over our lives, that we may grow in Jesus Christ. We love you, Father. We bless you for all these things in Jesus' name.